Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a day to meet together. We thank you that we are still free to do this. We know there are countries where to meet like this openly could mean their lives. And I pray that you'd help us to cherish these times, to use them to give honor and glory and praise to you. And I thank you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to be looking at chapter 20 of Genesis. So if you so desire to turn there, please do so. While you're turning there, I'm going to ask you some questions. If you've read this chapter before, I'm sure you have. It's kind of an odd chapter in some respects. It's odd for the person who's the main character in what he does. It's not odd otherwise, but just because of who Abraham is and was. So one question I have for you and for myself as well, and you don't have to answer me. Just answer yourself. Have you ever been in a situation, a tough situation, and found yourself dishonoring God by lying to others and then being a blessing to them? That's a rough situation and an odd situation to be in. Well, let's be reminded that Abraham was a man who had a great many blessings to him. I'm just going to read off a few of them. Most of them come and at least begin with Genesis chapter 12. He was going to be blessed with a great nation that would come from him. God was going to bless him. God was going to make his name great. God was going to make him a blessing. God would bless those who blessed him. God would curse those who would curse him. In him, all the families of the earth would be blessed. He was blessed in several chapters, 13, 15, 17, maybe some others, with an area of land, a land that went from the river Euphrates all the way to the river of Egypt. Genesis 17 says he was going to be the father of a multitude of nations. Genesis 15 tells us that God would be his shield, his defender. And we read several places where the word covenant is used. Genesis 15 and 17 and maybe some others. Can you imagine all these things being said about you and for you? To make you a blessing to others, and then by circumstances that he was put in, instead of telling the truth, he told a lie. And that lie brought a great turmoil for him and for Abimelech, the king, and for Sarah, I'm sure. It doesn't say what Sarah thought about all this, but can you imagine what Sarah thought? So Genesis chapter 20. I'm going to really go through it quickly, so follow along with me. Now, Abraham journeyed from there, and that there is, you go back to Genesis chapter 18, is it the Oaks of Mamre, which is in the area of Hebron, which is south and a little bit west of Jerusalem. He went from there toward the land of the Negev, and settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he sojourned in Gerar. And Gerar is in the general area of where Hebron is, a little bit more west, I believe. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman you have taken, for she is married." Now, there's truth to what is said in both what Abraham said and obviously what Abimelech said is told. We'll find out more about that in a little bit. Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay a nation, even though blameless?" And you know, he's not talking just about himself, he's talking about a whole people. I don't know how many people were in the kingdom of Gerar, but it was probably not just a small group of people, it was a large group of people. Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart, in the innocence of my hands, I have done this. So he hadn't touched her. He had taken her, but he hadn't touched her. He hadn't done anything to her, hadn't harmed her in any way, hadn't violated her. And then we read in verse 6, then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this, and I also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. So on the one hand, Abimelech has professed, and God says, no, you didn't do a thing. You were innocent. You were blameless. You didn't do a thing. But you notice he also says, I also kept you from sinning against me. God was at work doing something that Abimelech might have done, but he didn't, because on the one hand, he didn't do it. He said he didn't do it. But on the other hand, God was at work. God kept him from doing anything to Sarah or with Sarah. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. God continues in verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife. Notice he uses the words wife. He doesn't say sister, as Abraham had said, and as Sarah had said, well, he's my brother. For he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So he's told him to get this man who lied to you, and you go to him, he's a prophet, and he's going to pray for you. Now, that's why I said in the beginning, you know, there are times when we do things, we get ourselves in situations where we really tell something to somebody that's not true. And sometimes God uses us even though we do something we shouldn't do. And that's what God is about to do with Abimelech. Verse 8 tells us, so Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants. You notice this was, the dream was at night. This is early in the morning. He's gathered all his servants and told these things in their hearing, and the men were greatly frightened. They knew what this meant. This could mean the destruction of their country, of their kingdom. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us, and how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done things to me, things that ought not to be done. I want you to notice, he talks about sin. He's talked about being blameless. He's talked about being innocent. God has said, I've kept you from sinning. You know, there's a knowledge of sin and of righteousness that this man had that sometimes we don't think other people might have around us, but they do. And Abimelech said to Abraham, that's verse 10, what have you encountered that you have done this thing? He's questioning this man. He knows what was said to him, but he knows what God has said to him, and he's questioning Abraham about what he said and what he's done. Notice Abraham's answer isn't a very good answer. It's the truth, but it isn't a very good answer. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Now remember, he's had all these promises made to him that I mentioned at first. Promises of a great nation, of many nations, of a land and many descendants. So he had to have in his mind, well, now God is going to do this, but he's demonstrated his fear that that won't happen because of what he just said there. Besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is the kindness which you will show to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. So that was Abraham's instruction to Sarah. And you know, this has already happened once before down in Egypt when God first called him from to leave Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land that he had chosen for him. So this has already happened once. And if you remember in Genesis chapter 12, that was an ugly chapter there. What happened? And God took him out of that. God managed. That's not a good word to say, God managed, but God worked something very special in Abraham's life when he did not deserve it. And there are times when that happens to us, we don't deserve it either. And then notice what Abimelech does for Abraham. Verse 14, Abimelech then took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah to him. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please. Now, this Gerar is not a great big kingdom. Stand in the southern part of Israel. It would be on the basically pretty near the coast, but and not far away from Hebron, like I said. It's about 30, 40 miles from southwest of Jerusalem. It's not a big area, and that's a sparse area to live. Jim, you, I don't know if you went in the south, but it's a sparse area. It's a dry area. It's not a pretty area. It's very drab. It's like the desert area. That's what it's like. That's why it's called the Negev. It's the steps moving up into the land where it was pretty and it is beautiful. But he gives him the opportunity to go wherever he pleases. He can settle wherever he wants. He's given that opportunity. But then he turns to Sarah. And to Sarah he said, Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, it is your vindication before all who are with you and before all men. You are cleared. So he's in a real sense, kind of accusing Sarah. But on the other hand, he's telling her, I'm letting you know, this is what I'm giving you, and this is your vindication. This is the proof that you are clear, that nothing has been done to you, and you have not done anything to me. You're cleared. So no cheap amount of money was given to her. 1,000 pieces of silver, even in that day, it wasn't gold, but it still was a lot of money. And then we come to the end of the chapter and the last two verses and what Abraham did and what God said, has said through Moses. And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and all and his wife and his maids, so that they bore children. Now, by those words, it seems evident that the reason possibly that Abimelech took Sarah is he would have made her part of his harem, or those women who had made children for him. Notice what the reasoning is. The explanation is given in the last verse. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. But you know, this is not Sarah's fault necessarily. This is Abraham's fault, because Abraham should have never set it up this way for her to have to think that she had to tell something that really wasn't true just to protect Abraham. And just a reminder to you and me, we're not Abraham, we're not a Sarah. We haven't been made great promises. But if your trust and your faith is in Christ, my trust, my faith is in Christ, then we need to be honest with people. When we're in a situation where we think, well, if I say this, this is what's going to happen. Or if I say this, this is what's going to happen. We need to tell the truth. We need to honor God, and we need to know that if He has made promises to us, He will fulfill those promises. He will not fail to do that for us. And so as we just consider a few things from this chapter, I'd like you to go home with that, just to be reminded. Me reminded, you reminded, to tell the truth, that when we're in tough situations, tell the truth no matter what, and trust God that He will do His work, His way, in and through us. So with that, Jim, I give it over to you. Yes, sir.
Do you happen to know the time
This is in between the time that God came to Abram in chapter 18, and in the next chapter when he's going to make the promise of the son, in a year you will have a son. Well, actually, that was Genesis 18. So this is about a year in between that time frame when the promise was made of the son and the birth of the son of Isaac. I mean, of Isaac, excuse me. Yes.